Grandstand Zane Bojack is with me to talk sport this morning, and it's a subject that you hold very dear, Zane, golf.
Oh, I do indeed. I even had a game on Tuesday. There you go, Paula. But look, it's fantastic too, because after 50 years as a professional golfer, you could be excused for wanting to take things a bit easy, but no one can slow down Charlie Earp. He's Queensland's best-known golf coach, and he's been responsible for coaching Greg Norman, Mike Ferguson and Corinne Dibner. And this weekend, Paula, he's travelling to North Queensland on behalf of the Townsville Golf Club to pass on his knowledge to local players and coaches. And to find out what's in store, we have Charlie Earp with us this morning. Charlie, we mentioned that you've retired from coaching. What are you up to these days?
I think I've been retired all my life, Zane. It's never got away. I've been at it. I do a fair few trips around the country still, promoting the Greg Norman Foundation, the Newton Foundation and the Marsh, the Junior Foundations, and trying to get more young people to play this wonderful game.
Charlie, do you still keep in contact with Greg Norman?
Yeah, Paula. He was actually here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, driving me nuts to go and have a fish, but I had to go to Darwin and work with some kids up there, and so, fortunately, my son took over, Stephen, and took him out a couple of times, and they managed to get a feed. But I talk a fair bit with Greg. As a matter of fact, I've got to ring him tomorrow morning.
Charlie, I guess when you're a golfer, you would fish in your spare time. The rest of us play golf in the spare time.
Yeah, but I mean, nearly all golf pros do that. Even though, like, I heard you talking about Corinne Dibner and, like, Dale Reed and Kari Webb. Like, they've been... Well, Kari hasn't been fishing with me, but Corinne's done a fair bit of fishing with me, And we sort of get relaxation out of it. We love fishing so much we don't even put bait on the hook so the fish don't annoy us.
Well, look, you mentioned Greg, that you still talk to him, and you know, he's actually my hero, but he does seem to be a strong-willed individual, Charlie, and it's great that you've got that relationship with him. How did you convince him to change his game?
Well, he was sort of one of those sort of people. He worked hard at the game. Like Grady, he was another one. We didn't have to work to encourage them too much. We didn't have to change their swing too much. They gradually put it together over time through little adjustments as we go along. That's starting as a young fellow, and then it's still the same as you get older. Well, then you change a bit because your body changes, and that applies to people who are in their 70s and 80s. I was giving a chap a lesson the other morning and said to him, listen, you've got to start moving. The older you get, the more movement you need. And so this, you're getting the exercise out of it. And so that you do little adjustments as you come along. Like, we might have a look at Greg, or he might ask me something that he's blocking the shot, or he might be hooking the shot, or something like this. And it's easy to adjust somebody of that calibre. The biggest problem is 80% mental.
Talking about that, on the weekend, of course, he was leading the British Open and once again fell behind in the final round. Do you think he's mentally strong, Charlie? Is that something that you've had to work on with him in terms of, you know, completing that fourth round and being able to play as well in that last round as he has in the previous three?
Yeah, but that happens. Same thing happened to Tom Watson.
Yeah, you're right.
That happens at all. Tom Watson would be more match practice than like Greg would be. It'd be like an athlete who goes in for a mile, 10,000 metre run or something. And if they haven't been running very often, they're not match practice. They're not that like a racehorse. You've got to be at your pitch of your fitness and mentally. And so mentally, you're not match practiced. You get a little bit what we call protective, possibly is the word I should be using. You become a little bit careful, and then you start steering the ball. Whereas when you're running, well, you run out of puff. So the mental side of it, so the more that you practice, the mentally hard that you become. And then like Tom Watson did the other day, it's a magnificent effort of what he did. At 59 years of age, being in the playoff to win the British Open, like there's never, ever anything like that before in life. And he works hard at his game still.
Charlie, is a golf a game where you can go on and play competitively right into your later years?
Yeah, that's true. We've got senior events on now. We've got a senior tour. And some of those guys are in their 70s.
And they're still competitive when they play on the main tour as well, as Tom Watson's shown.
Yeah, it's correct. Yeah, they've got what we call that, we all know what a mongrel is. You've got that mongrel in you. And that's like that. Kari Webb's a real one of that. She's got that real mongrel in her to win. And same as Dibs, but Dibs is talking about getting back onto the senior tour now. And those great thing about the game of golf. You can start off, like I started my grandson off when he was only 18 months old. You can still, and there's guys still playing, and ladies playing in their 90s. And that's the wonderful thing about the game. But coming back to the senior tour, people are living longer. They work, they keep themselves fit, they work out. And so at 70 years of age, I've got pals of mine that go to the gym all the time. And then they're in their 70s and their 80s. And they walk around the golf course. So that living longer will start having, as we do now in the senior tour, we have events for people over 70. It won't be long before we're having events for people in the over the 80. And that's in amateurs and professionals.
And Charlie, is everyone capable of playing good golf? Or do you have to be born with natural talent?
Ah, everybody's got a chance. As long as you've got two arms. The biggest problem with golfers is the fact that we use our brains.
That's so true.
I think we're in trouble. We're starting to use our brains. To be extremely, it all depends how it is. Some people love just being technical about the game. Other people just don't love to be able to coordinate and exercise and hit the golf ball. There's so many different categories of people that love playing the game. And when you go through all the other sporting people, what they do for a relaxation is they go and play golf. Play radio announcers.
Zane was explaining to me, Charlie, that there's a new handicapping system coming into amateur golf in Australia.
Yeah.
Will that be beneficial to recruiting more players to the game?
Possibly, but then it might slow the game up a little bit. We're getting more and more people, so there'll be another level of golf coming in. And that will allow, there'll be events for people like men playing off 36, women off 45, so that I can see a separation coming until they go through the level and come back to playing to a 30, for women, coming back for a 36 handicap, back to a 25 or 24 handicap, then the event where we get into the A-grade stuff, then we get into the singles, and then you get into the open events. And that's, they're going through this with the foresight of having more and more people participate, because we're building more golf courses and more people living around golf courses. And I think it's going to benefit it will benefit the game, because everybody will be able to have a go at playing in competition.
And that's what we'd certainly like to see, because there's it certainly can be confirmed that golf has gone down in the last few years in terms of participation numbers as everyone gets a little bit busier in their life and that sort of thing. You are coming up to Townsville this weekend, Charlie. What's your role with the Townsville Golf Club this weekend?
I love coming up there.
And we can't wait to see you either.
I tell you what, we've got a big weekend going there, and those people there have just lost all their stuff. Wait, don't take me a couple of days and I'll find it for you. So now that Narelle Anderson, Dundee, she's done a magnificent job of getting all this together and getting all these people to play in this event. And so that on the Saturday, when I turn this page over, we have, and it won't glue there, it's a junior clinic. And Angela Venera's coming along, and Alan Crichton's going to give us a hand with it, and so Narelle. And so at 1:30, it's free for juniors. As many, anybody around Townsville listening to this, all they need to do is to ring the Townsville Golf Club or to get to Angela Venera, who's with the Greg Norman Foundation, or the to Narelle, and that'll be up on the on your computer. And so that's goes on. But what we'll do in that there, we'll take the kids down for a clinic hitting golf balls. We'll be putting them on video and taking them back to the clubhouse. And we run through swings of Adam Scott, Greg Norman, Tiger Woods, or Rachel Hetherington, or Corinne Dibner, whoever they want to have a look at. And then we put them on and show them that they're not as bad as they think they are.
Well, that's fantastic. I wish I was a junior again, Paul.
We can do that for seniors too. Quite one of those fellas. They can do that for you.
Oh, beautiful. And there's a dinner on Saturday night as well,
yeah,
I understand.
We're going there with the compliments of dear old Marty. There's the, he's got the hotel down there, and then their sponsors are there, like Graham Smith and the Billabong Lodge, and then Wayne Cooper, he's got the Motel Palms, and David Hanna, McCallany, and others who have been wonderful sponsors of the event. And then the Hole-in-One Club, they're into it. Now, that's, I had a Hole-in-One once, but it wasn't very long.
All right.
So that's on Sunday. So for the kids, again, come back Sunday, is a junior shootout. That starts at 7 a.m. And then there is a cost for that competition, which includes their lunch and a welcome gift. And then the Hole-in-One Club, they have a shotgun start starting at 10:30 a.m. shotgun start there, and so that's a really big event. And so that anybody who's had a hole-in-one or can prove that they've had a hole-in-one, they can line up with $410, and that includes lunch. And we'll be going around giving them some tips to see if they can hole-in-one again.
And I hope that you'll be able to do that for me as well, Charlie. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Can't wait to see you on the weekend, and thanks for talking to us on Sports Talk.
Looking forward to it.